Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:14 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 15th. We've had a lot of movement again in here in stock markets, but I thought we'd kick off and look at Ethereum. When we see very clear evidence of technical accumulation within a base formation, this is one of the interesting things about crypto, is that you often get chart patterns that are almost textbook in nature. For example, in the downtrend in 2018, you had a staircase step sequence decline, and that persisted for a good number of months, and then it stopped back in February. We started to see a higher reaction low. We had another higher reaction low in March. We had another one in April, and now it has broken out in pretty emphatic form and is now trading back above the $200 area. So that is the base formation completed. Arguably, it was completed back in April, and this is the completion of the first step above the base. What we also see in cryptocurrencies is that they do tend to have rather short-term bases, not least because everything seems to be accelerated within the asset class. Bitcoin has been making headlines over the course of the last few months because it has rallied so spectacularly, and it was up another $500 in here today. So when an asset class rallies by approximately 100% in the space of 6 weeks, then that is going to make international headlines. It also raises the prospect of catch-up rallies, which is why Ethereum is starting to garner attention. We've also seen that Ripple has perked up. What I find particularly interesting about Ripple is it in fact bottomed in August, whereas most of the other cryptocurrencies didn't bottom until December. So that is clear relative strength at the beginning of the recovery phase. And now it is up rather significantly over the course of the last couple of days. What I also thought was interesting was to look at the relative performance of the Bitcoin and Ethereum. And when we look at that over the course of the last few years, well, we can see that Ethereum has seldom been down at levels that approximate this region relative to Bitcoin. So what that suggests is that Bitcoin has probably rallied enough to start to elicit interest in catch-up plays from the altcoins. So I think that's one of the more interesting factors in here. When we also look at what's going on in the cryptocurrency markets, there are a number of competing themes to elicit interest from investors from different walks of life. For example, the fact that the renminbi has been under pressure and does look likely to at least test the 7 level raises the prospect of capital flight. Well, what we also see in China right now is that the stock market has been steadying up. There was a very clear upside key reversal 4 days ago, and we haven't quite yet had the kind of follow-through that would be desirable, but it certainly hasn't been making new lows either. When we look at some of the larger companies in China, of course they're not contained within the A-share index, Alibaba bounced rather well from the region of the trend mean in here today on positive earnings. Tencent is also steadying once more, and it has been trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner now, with one little step above another since November of last year, and it is finding support in the region of the trend mean at least. That has also helped to stoke demand for other computer gaming companies. Activision Blizzard, following the very steep decline that it had in the last quarter of last year, does appear to be putting in a base formation. Take-Two has already broken its sequence of lower rally highs. Well, when we think about the outlook for China and capital flight, well, China does appear to be trying to stabilize the currency and supporting the stock market. That also is something that potentially represents a headwind for Bitcoin if some of the capital flight concerns are clamped down on by the Chinese authorities. there is the additional prospect that we're going to see custody at facilities in the market really quite soon, particularly from Fidelity, also potentially from E-Trade, and JP Morgan has also been dabbling in the sector. So that raises the potential of institutional money coming into the sector. And that would be transformational since it has primarily been a retail environment for cryptocurrencies until now. It also raises the potential that you're going to have advocates of modern portfolio theory becoming interested in the cryptocurrency market because of the uncorrelated nature of the market and the kind of diversification that they seek could be achieved through cryptocurrencies. So that's, I think, one of the more important bullish characteristics for the sector. Of course, the other historic uncorrelated asset is gold, and it was relatively unchanged in here today. It needs to push back above the $1,300 area in order to really confirm a return to demand dominance. And within the commodity complex, the oil price has continued to firm from this $70 area. And this is the region of the trend mean, and we are seeing some evidence of demand coming back in. I'd rather think that it is quite likely we're going to see the $80 region tested after what is likely to be a 1 month consolidation that is very consistent with the nature of the trend that we've had over the course of this year so far. When we look though at copper prices, the copper price had pulled back rather sharply over the course of the last couple of weeks, and it has steadied around the $2.70 area, but it's going to have to break the sequence of lower rally highs in order to really demonstrate a return to demand dominance. The Australian dollar is continuing to push on the downside. There is the prospect that the RBA is going to be cutting rates. They may even go as far as 3 interest rate cuts. The slowdown in the property market is certainly going to be one of the factors that is going to contribute to that decision, but also the underperformance of the industrial resources is going to factor into that decision as well. If we look at the LME Metals Index, we had the Type 2 massive reaction against the prevailing trend in the middle of last year, and so far this has been a period of right-hand extension which has been unable to sustain the move above the trend mean. It really did look like it was going to be able to do that for a while at the beginning of this year, and that has failed. So that is going to be another factor that figures in Australia's calculations about interest rates. Then when we look at the continuous commodity index, it's right in the region of the lower side of its range. It has been buoyed both by oil and by the grains in the various grain and bean contracts. Now, we've had upside key reversals in both corn and wheat, and soybeans has also bounced in here, although it wasn't quite able to hold on to all of its advance in here today. So, having had the big move, now the big question is whether it can sustain this rally. We've definitely had some short covering, but these contracts need to continue to bounce from here. Now, when we look at what's going on in the stock market, the S&P 500 was in positive territory in here today, so it hasn't quite unwound the decline that we put in right off the open on Monday, but at least we are starting to see some evidence of demand coming back to dominance in the region of the trend mean. This consolidation and ranging phase, if even in a benign scenario, could take anything up to a couple of months to put in some support before a sustained move above 3,000 could be, I think, sustained. Now, that's the bullish conclusion. The bearish conclusion is that it is merely steadying and that the next big move will be on the downside. We're still at I think, a relatively uncertain environment. The market is reacting rather in a more volatile fashion to the prognostications coming out of the mouths of the negotiators and the leaders of both the USA and China with regard to the trade war. There was some positive news in here today, so the market has been up. Obviously, there was negative news on Monday, so we pulled back sharply. Well, that kind of back and forth movement and the broad characteristics of it are having a rather big effect on the VIX index, and it was in negative territory in here today, but I'm rather doubtful whether it's going to be able to sustain a move below 15 in the short term. I do think that it's more likely we're going to get some additional ranging at the very minimum. I tuned into Jeff Gundlach's or the majority of Jeff Gundlach's webcast when I concluded the audio yesterday, and once I receive the slides, I'll post them in comment of the day. He remains really very I think worried about the size of the debt mountain that the USA has been accumulating, and trillion-dollar deficits are certainly here to stay. Well, the fact that the 10-year yield is back in the region of the lows from March is representative of the conclusion among bond investors that there is no way that the Federal Reserve is going to be raising interest rates, and that the most likely trajectory is that we're going to see interest rate cuts. That's, I think, quite obvious from the trajectory of yields at present. What Jeff Gundlach is saying, and we can see, for example, today that the 2-year moved to a new low. Well, what he's saying is that when we do get the next issue or recession, that there is likely to be a buyer's strike because of the quantity of debt and because of the size of deficits that are going to be required in order to rescue the economy from what is potentially a very significant debt reckoning. He also was very clear on the fact that so many of the, if you were simply to look at leverage ratios for companies, that a very significant number of corporate bonds would now be rated junk, but they have not been downgraded. Well, that represents a very large pool of fallen angel potential companies that could have goodwill written off, could have their bonds downgraded, or the threat of downgrades resulting in really quite large dislocations in their share prices, and then the disposal of assets, which would be manna from heaven for the private equity sector. It's also likely to create really very attractive opportunities in corporate bonds, because companies will do anything they can to ensure that they maintain an investment grade rating. We've seen that, for example, with GE, and it's quite likely if anything were to happen to Heinz Kraft's credit worthiness, that they would also dispose of some of their assets. But governments can't very well do that. So the potential is that the USA will have to cut rates back to zero, or potentially even below zero, and very much fall into line with the kinds of policies that have been were followed by both Japan and Europe. So that is part of the reckoning that is going into this compression in yields, that eventually the Federal Reserve is going to have to start to take a much more active hand in managing both the long and short end of the yield curve, just like the Bank of Japan has been doing. And that, I think, is why we're starting to see these yields continuing to compress. But as long as the Federal Reserve is not in fact cutting rates, then that is likely to be, I think, a bullish characteristic for the wider stock market. When we look at the Nasdaq 100, it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. Now, it has not quite unwound all of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but it's unwound most of it. And today was a really quite impressive day. When we look at the best movers in the market in here today, Alphabet was among them. So were the the FANG stocks and also the computer game manufacturers. So that I think rather stands out in terms of the performance. What's also I think interesting is BioMarin was up over 7%, and this is one of the more volatile biotech shares, but it is right in the region of the lower side of its range, and it's been ranging for nearly 3 years. There has been a distinct period of underperformance for the immuno-oncology sector, but there are a select few have been more ranging than trending downwards, and that is pretty emphatic demand coming back in the lower side of the range. When we think about what is going to lead us up and out of a corrective phase, it is likely to be those large cap shares, because they continue to benefit both from their earnings streams and the adoption of subscription business models that is streamlining their balance sheets and making them much easier to model. When we look at what's going on in Europe, well, they continue to err on the side of caution in terms of monetary policy, but the Euro Stoxx 50 has at least bounced from the region of the trend mean, and that is looking more positive in here. So this is, I think, the most benign scenario, that we have had a reversion to the mean and we're starting to see support coming through. It probably means that we are in for some additional ranging, but that the number of shares that are in fact breaking down is comparatively small. It's also, I think, rather interesting that the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index has found support, at least in the near term, around the 1400 point level, which represented the upper side of the underlying range, and the Russell 2000 has also steadied up from the lower side of its range. I think a lot of people, including myself, would be a lot happier when it can sustain a move above 1600 in order to really demonstrate that some of the headwinds that are faced by the domestic US economy are moderating. Now, the Indian market was in negative territory in here today. It is right now in the region of the trend mean. We are approaching the end of the election process in India, so I think some money getting taken off the table ahead of the eventual result is what's potentially going on here right now. The Bombay Banks Index, and I do keep a rather close eye on this because it has been such a leader, has been pulling back in a less dynamic manner. It certainly outperformed on the way up. It was the only banking sector that was at a new all-time high earlier this year. Now, this does look like a reversion to the mean. It hasn't quite completed it yet, but as long as it is holding the 30,000 level, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. The strength of the yen has been a bit of a headwind for the Japanese market, but the second section was in positive territory yesterday, and again in here today, at least it was off its lows. Now the bigger question is whether it can improve upon that performance and push back above the 7,000 level. It is a move like that is going to be required in order to really demonstrate a return back to demand dominance, and it's a very similar story for the Nikkei around the 22,000 level. The weakness of the Australian dollar has been at least a tailwind for the ASX 200, and it is continuing to stabilize here in the region of the peaks from last year. If the Australian dollar continues to trend lower, that is likely to be a beneficial factor in nominal terms for the Australian stock market. Now, when we look at the longer term, then that does hold out the prospect that it will get all the way back up towards the peak in 2007, and then perhaps have some additional consolidation. As long as the Australian dollar is going downwards, then that is likely to be a tailwind, at least in nominal price terms, which is obviously going to represent a hedged opportunity for foreign investors and just an unhedged opportunity for domestic investors. Now, when we then think about some of the other commodity-related markets, the Brazilian market came down to 90,000 in here today, but did bounce. This continues to look like a reversionary process towards the mean, and 90,000 coincides with that level. So I think, I really do think that there is scope here for additional upside. The South African the currency has steadied up. It continues to hold this sequence of higher reaction lows, or the dollar's lower highs, and the most recent one of those was around 1450. As long as the 1450 area is holding, I think that is likely to be I think representative of support coming through for the rand. If it can sustain a move through 14, then we're back in a demand dominated environment. We're still in an uncertain environment internationally, and the pace of I think investors looking at the risks and deciding how much of the risk has been priced in is accelerating. As long as the trade war remains on the back burner, and that the prospect that investors are concluding that there is going to be a deal, but aren't quite certain about when that is going to happen, then I think markets will be reasonably sanguine. If, on the other hand, they just break off negotiations, that would be a different story, and we would get more of, I think, a dynamic pullback. I think the more important point, though, is that we are in now approaching the least favorable time of the year for markets, and more volatility and more ranging is probably the most likely scenario. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.